The following is a lecture entitled, If God is One, Why So Many Religions? Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on October 24th, 2015, in Noida, India.
So I've been asked to speak tonight about the purpose of human life. And I find that appropriate because I notice you're all human beings here tonight. We don't have any dogs or cats in the room. So since you're all human beings, this is a very appropriate topic. What is the purpose of the human life? But I beg to inform you, actually, by the influence of Kali Yuga, we're not really human beings yet. We may think we're human beings, but actually, because we have not aligned ourselves with the Supreme, we're actually in the level of dogs and cats and hogs and monkeys and all that kind of stuff. So the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is to turn us animals into human beings. So tonight we want to train you how to be a human being. How to be a human being is very clearly described in the Vedanta Sutra. Tato brahma jigyasa. Now you have a human form, you must therefore inquire what is the absolute truth. Now how many people here in Noida are wondering, what's the absolute truth? You see, practically no one. This means the whole population of this city of Noida, they're all animals. Even they're called, in Sanskrit, they're called dvipada pashu, two-legged animals. See, animals normally go on four legs. But when a person in the human form does not inquire about the absolute truth and is only interested in material sense gratification, he is called in Sanskrit a dvipada pashu. And when he gets old, you know what they call him? A tripada kashu, because he's walking with a cane. That's it. So the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is to train you how not to be a dvipada pashu and a tripada pashu. To train you how to actually understand what is the absolute truth and what is your relationship with the absolute truth. In this way, you actually become, in fact, a human being, not a shadow of a human being walking around Noida or Delhi or going on your motorcycle, whatever it may be. You see? So, how do you learn that art? How do you learn how to be a human being? You have to learn it from someone who has realized the purpose of this human life. That is the self-realized soul, the bona fide spiritual master. He has realized what is the purpose of the human life. Therefore, Krishna enjoins in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninastatvadarshinaha. He says, just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Right now, we're in a state of blindness. It's like somebody needs glasses, you see. They can't see well without their glasses. They go to an optometrist to get fitted with the glasses, you see. So we are all in need of spiritual glasses because we can't see the spiritual reality which is underlying the material reality. This material reality is the inferior aspect of the superior nature. Just like my hand is here, I can see on the table, there's a shadow moving along with it, you see. So this material world is the shadow world. This is not the original world. This is a shadow of the original world. Now, if I sat you down for a dinner and I said, okay, and I led you, and you can have the shadow of the dinner and you can't eat the dinner, would you get your nourishment? Would you get satisfied? You can have a shadow of the meal, you see. Well, hold the meal here and there's a shadow, you can enjoy the shadow of the meal. Well, that's why no one's happy in this material world. This is a shadow of the actual reality. No wonder people are frustrated. They're going crazy. They kill each other. You know, they fight over trifle things. Just because they're so frustrated. They're so miserable because they're trying to enjoy the shadow. This is the fault of the leaders of the world. They themselves are fools and rascals, and by their management and by their educational systems, they are creating more and more fools and rascals to turn this world into more and more of a hellish nightmare every day. Therefore, the teachings of Krishna are absolutely essential to bring sanity back to the human society. Absolutely essential. What is that verse? 321. Whatever the great man does, the common people follow. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So the problem is the so-called great men today, they are not great. The politicians, the movie stars, the rock stars, the soccer stars. You know, these people are like rakshasas. And they're considered the great people. And people are following their example, you see. So we need to create a world culture with the great people. Those who are acknowledged as great are those who are enlightened in Krishna consciousness. Those are the great people, you see. Those are the real examples. Acharya means an example, one whose example you follow. So the real examples on this planet are the Krishna conscious, realized devotees of the Lord. Those who have realized that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that I am His eternal servant. These are the people we need to take as our examples. Those who absorb themselves 24/7 in serving Krishna and serving Guru, we need to accept these people as our example. You see? We're very fortunate that Krishna sent such a perfect, exemplary personality to this material world, His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. How fortunate we are that this great personality, who is an ideal example of what it means to be a human being, because he was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day in all times, places, and circumstances with every thought, word, and deed. This is an acharya. You see, Prabhupada is the perfect example of acharya. And those who strictly follow Prabhupada, they are also acharyas because they are representing Prabhupada. You see. So we need to find out those persons who are teaching us how to understand the teachings of Prabhupada perfectly. Those persons who are masters in understanding the science taught by Srila Prabhupada, you see. Those are the people we should be trained by, those who were trained by Prabhupada and who know perfectly well what Prabhupada is talking about on all the different points of philosophy and how to practice Krishna consciousness, how to implement a spiritual revolution to completely transform the human society as soon as possible. We need to hear from these kind of personalities, because they can train us how to situate ourselves beyond this material existence. Right now, we're caught up in the three modes of nature, sattvagun, rajagun, tamagun. It's like being tossed in the waves of the ocean, you see. We're meant to be beyond the waves of the material ocean. When you're in a boat, you have no trouble. If someone throws you in the ocean, you're in big trouble. You understand? So you have to be in the boat. And then you're safe. That boat is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Samashritaye palapallava plavam mahatputang punya jusho marare bhavambadirvata padam param padam 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 yad babadam nate sham. You see, those persons who have taken shelter of the boat of Lord Sri Krishna's lotus feet, which are the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and that person Krishna He is called Murari because he's famous for having annihilated the Mura demon. For those persons who have taken shelter of Krishna and Krishna's lotus feet, this vast, insurmountable ocean of material existence becomes reduced down to Vatsapadam, the amount of water contained within a hoofprint of a calf. Their aim is the Parampadam, the transcendental Vaikuntha realm, not that place, Padam Padam Yadbhapadam Datesham, for there is danger at every step. So you have a choice, gentlemen. You have a choice. You can become an ordinary person running after material sense gratification, or you can be an intelligent, wise man who goes after transcendental existence, who takes shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and the pure devotees of Lord Krishna. You can be an intelligent man and situate yourself beyond this material existence and thereby engaged in the highest welfare work for your nation, for your community, for your family, for your friends, for all living entities throughout the entire universe. Now, do you think you could be more happy if you could actually live for the welfare of every living entity in this material world at every second? You see? I guarantee you, the more you can give love, the more you feel loved. Therefore, the perfection of love is to act for the benefit of every single living entity throughout this entire material world. And how you can do that, it's not difficult. All you have to do is connect with the source of all existence, that amazing person with unlimited power, unlimited beauty, unlimited renunciation, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth, unlimited fame, who is called Krishna. By chanting his name with love. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Is it difficult? It's very simple. Even a little child can chant Hare Krishna. One lady, she said, I cannot chant so many words, but that was more syllables. I can't chant so many words. She could have said Hare Krishna. It's much easier to say than that. So, this is not an ordinary sound vibration. You have to understand, Krishna himself has appeared. This is called Nama Avatar. If you could meet Krishna right now, would you be interested? I'd say, well, Krishna's in the other room over here. Anybody who wants to meet him, come, I'll take you over to the other room. Would you like to come and actually meet him personally? Sure. God himself, the source of all existence, who has unlimited power, unlimited beauty, unlimited renunciation, unlimited knowledge, wealth, and fame. You'd like to meet him? Sure, he's the supreme superstar. Sure, I'd love to meet him. Well, you can meet him right now. All you have to do is chant his name with faith. Krishna, you've just met him. You just have to realize it. You see, that's the problem. We're so dull. We think, well, it's just some sound vibration. That is our dull brains, you understand? Because of material association, growing up in a material society, in the most polluted city in the whole world, we are dull-brained people, you see? But we don't have to remain dull-brained people. By chanting the name of Krishna with faith, on the order of the spiritual master, you will completely transcend this material existence. You will enter into a realm beyond death. By taking shelter of Krishna Nama, you can achieve deathlessness, immortality. Right now, we're caught up in false bodily identification, thinking, I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm this, I'm that. Now, there's some papers going around. If you have any questions, you can write your question on the piece of paper. We are going to open it up. If you have some challenges also, if you think I'm wrong, then give me your challenge. I'll take you. I'll take you on. I'll prove to you that everything that I'm saying is absolutely correct based on scripture and on logic. So if you have questions how to advance in Krishna consciousness, or maybe some friend of yours had a challenging question, you didn't know how to answer. So free feed. It's a free forum tonight. Whatever you want to write on a paper, send it forward. No one will know who asked the question. You can be anonymous because no one will know who asked the question. So I want you all to take advantage of this human life. I want every one of you to utilize your life in such a way that this is the last birth in the material world. You see, I don't want to see any of you taking birth again in this material world. I want you to take it very, very seriously that I will become self-realized in this lifetime. That's the whole purpose of my human life. Everything else is secondary. Wife, family, kids, occupation, that's okay. But those things have to be dovetailed into the process of self-realization. Don't try to enjoy anything separately. You can dovetail everything into the process of self-realization. If you don't do that, I'm telling you, you are nothing but a big fool, a stupid idiot, if you do anything besides what I'm telling you. You may say, I'm dogmatic, but no, I have science to back up everything I'm saying. I have science to back up everything I'm saying. That if you don't put your full energy into self-realization, you're making the biggest mistake you could ever make. Do you know how long it took you to get this human form? Do you know you went through 8,400,000 species of life in the aquatics? 900,000 aquatics. You went through the birds. You went through the beasts. You went through the plants. You've gone through so many different forms of life over millions and millions and millions of years. And now you've gotten a human form, not only a human form, but you've taken birth in Punya Bhumi, the land of Krishna, only a few miles away from his place, Holy Vrindavan Dham. You have the most auspicious opportunity, you see, to take advantage of the great sages of India, who are the great superheroes of history, are the sages of India. They're the greatest heroes in this universe. And the great sages of India are the greatest thinkers, the greatest saints, the greatest personalities in the history of the universe are the saints of India. So if you don't take advantage of your own tradition as Indians, I can't imagine how stupid you are. I can't imagine how stupid you are. So don't be stupid. Use your intelligence to realize you've gotten the greatest opportunity. Let me take advantage of it. Let me hear from the bona fide spiritual master, you see. Some may say, well, how you can be a teacher? You don't look like you're an Indian. Someone may think, you see. But you have to understand, this is transcendental. I'm from Texas in the U.S. I'm from the United States, you see. I'm not born in India. So what's my right to sit up here and talk about Krishna, someone might ask, you see. But you have to understand the greatest authority is Krishna himself, who appeared as Lord Chaitanya, and he said, Kiva Vipra Kiva Nashi Shuddha Kene Noi Jai Krishna Tattva Se Guru Hoi. Doesn't matter what your birth is, what your occupation is, what your caste is, if you know the science of Krishna, you can become a spiritual master. So I learned the science of Krishna from the greatest spiritual master in the history of the universe, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He has empowered me to teach this all over the world. I go to every continent. I go to China, Australia, South America, North America, Europe. I go everywhere all over the world teaching this science because this is the universal science of the soul in relation with the Supreme Soul. If there's any questions, pass them forward. Okay, first question. Are you feel unlimited power of Krishna? If you feel, then what is your experience? The power of Krishna is called Krishna Shakti. I am seeing how Krishna Shakti is working. There's a nice verse about this. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. Unless one has the power of Krishna, the Shakti of Krishna, he cannot spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. I'm actually attracting disciples all over the world. In every continent, I have disciples. So I know it's not me. I'm just a little insignificant character from Texas, you see. But I know that by the power of Krishna, I'm attracting so many disciples from all over the world. This is Krishna Shakti. So yeah, I am feeling, I'm seeing it, practically speaking. I'm attracting disciples from all over the world. That is the power of Krishna. Okay. How can we remember Krishna all the time and overcome our bad habits? Well, the easiest way to remember Krishna all the time is to have an early morning, an intense early morning meditation before sunrise. Get up early and chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Japa Mala before the sunrise, and that will lock you into a divine state of consciousness that will carry you through the whole day, you see. So that's the secret. You have a very good morning program. And if you get up after, and here's another secret, before the sunrise is a very powerful time of the day when the mode of goodness is very powerful. It's called Brahma Muhurta. Once the sun comes up, a different mode of nature becomes predominant, namely the mode of passion, Rajaguna. And after sunset, another mode becomes predominant, the mode of ignorance. So people take advantage of that time just before the sunrise by intensely absorbing yourself in Krishna's name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You will easily remember Krishna throughout the whole day, and you won't be interested in smoking, drinking, or messing around with girls, you see. You'll have that taste. You'll have that taste for the holy name. How to understand the pastimes of Lord Krishna as real. Yes, we have this skeptical nature that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. Well, maybe, you know. I mean, how could you really lift a big mountain like that? With only a little finger for 7 days. A little kid lifting a mountain for 7 days. We may be a little skeptical, but you know what? God has unlimited power. He can do anything. You have to understand, what is God? Everything that exists is the energy of God. Everything that is happening is by His energy. Just like this fan blade is running here, you see. This electricity coming from the powerhouse, okay? Now, how much energy is in that powerhouse? It's powering things all over this part of the world, you see. A tremendous amount of energy is in that powerhouse. So there's another powerhouse which is energizing all the planets, all the universes, and that is God. So God has unlimited mystic powers. He can do anything. That you have to understand. It's called Achintya Shakti, inconceivable potency. So that's one way of logically approaching it. Another way is you have to qualify yourself to actually personally experience it. What if you could directly see Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill? Do you think you would believe it then? If you could purify your vision and you could directly see Krishna lifting Govardhan and lifting it up and putting it down, you could actually see the whole Leela. Well, it's available. It's not on YouTube. It's in your heart. You just have to purify your vision. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaivra hidayeshu valokayanti yangshama shundarama chanyuganasvarupam govindamadi purusham damaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyam Sundar Krishna himself with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. So, my dear men, you have to learn to tinge your eyes with the salve of love. And then you'll become qualified to see Krishna, actually see how he's lifting the Govardhan. It won't just be hearing about it, you'll be able to witness it. With your purified vision, you'll be able to see all the pastimes of Krishna directly with your own spiritual eyes. Sometimes while reading scriptures, I feel it's stories or fiction. Well, I just answered that one. Okay. Come some more. How to engage fully in Krishna consciousness, at the same time discharging our material duties without being attached? Well, you have to offer your material duties to Krishna. It's simple. Arjuna was engaged in a material duty called warrior. He engaged that in Krishna's service. That's all. Whatever you are, you engage it in Krishna's service. You see? If you're a singer, sing Hare Krishna. If you're a dancer, dance in the kirtan. If you're a political leader, then make your whole your country Krishna conscious. If you're a computer programmer and you're working hard to earn money to support your household, then turn your house into an ashram. You see? Bhaktivinoda Thakur was an employee of the British government and he was a pure devotee of Krishna. He said, now I'm working to maintain Krishna's household. So if you're going to be a householder, then you maintain an ashram. It is called Grihastha Ashram. If you don't make your place, you don't make your home a place of spiritual cultivation where Krishna is being worshipped and all the family members are engaged in Krishna consciousness, that is called Grihamedi. It is not called Grihastha. You work to maintain your ashram and to maintain ISKCON. Support this ashram as much as you can. 50% is ideal. If you make enough money, if not, give whatever you can and support your ashram at home too, you see, in this way. So you're working, many of you, maybe most of you students, are your employees, what is your status, most of you? Well, most of these men are students or they're young, they're workers? Workers? Workers mostly, workers or students? All right, all workers, raise your hand. Who has jobs? Okay. All right, mostly your workers. Who's students? Okay. All right. So you have to work. You're working to make money. That money should be spent for Krishna, either making a Krishna conscious atmosphere in your own place of residence, and by making this temple more opulent and more beautiful by donating money to this temple and other ISKCON projects. So how to do self-realization? What is the real meaning of self-realization? Self-realization means to realize that there is God and I am the eternal servant of God. So to become self-realized, you have to practically engage yourself in the service of Krishna by taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, getting initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. There's actually four simple principles. It's F-A-I-O, FIO, a little acronym, the FIO acronym. Faith, association, initiation, and obedience. That's how you become situated in self-realization. You have faith in the process, you have faith in Krishna, you have faith in Gita, then you associate with the like-minded souls, you see, devotees. You associate with devotees as much as you can. And then then other devotees, there'll be some who are spiritual masters, advanced devotees. You choose one of the spiritual masters in ISKCON. You become a disciple, initiated disciple of the spiritual master. And then you obey him. Whatever orders he gives you, you take those as your very life and soul. So by these four things, faith, association, initiation, and obedience, you will actually become self-realized. It's all you have to do, those four things. Faith, association, initiation, and obedience, and you'll become fully awakened. How to overcome fear? Krishna, what was Prabhupada's name? Abhay, means one who is fearless. So how do you become fearless? By completely taking shelter of Krishna, Now, my dear Lord, I put myself fully in your hands. You can do whatever you want to with me. You can make me famous. You can make me unknown. You can make me healthy. You can make me sick. You can make me wealthy. You can make me poor. You can have me live to the year of 500, or I can die in the next 10 minutes. Whatever you want to do with me, I'm just yours. That's all. That's called surrender. Put yourself in that mood, and nothing will ever scare you ever again, because you will see how Krishna is acting at every minute and blessing you at every minute with this circumstance and that circumstance and this circumstance and that circumstance to bring you closer and closer to Him, step by step by step by step. How to complete surrender while doing all the duties of the materialistic world? Initiation and obedience. It's simple. Is it necessary to get married? No, it's not. Prabhupada said, I'm asking all the men to remain brahmachari, and I'm asking all the girls to get married. He said, that is the dilemma. But somehow it works out by Krishna's arrangement. It's amazing. He says, all the men should stay brahmachari, and all these girls should get married, and then... It seems impossible, doesn't it? But somehow or other, by Krishna's grace, if you simply surrender to Krishna fully, He'll give you all facility you need to go back to God. If you need to be a brahmachari, He'll facilitate that. If you need to be a wife, if you need to have a wife, He'll give you a nice Krishna conscious wife. You just have to be sincerely dedicated to becoming a pure devotee, and everything will come automatically. I guarantee you, Krishna can easily fulfill whatever you need to become perfect in Krishna consciousness. You just have to have full faith. Krishna, I know you'll take good care of me. Now I fully give myself to you. I totally belong to you, and nothing else is there in my head except it's pleasing you. How to connect with Krishna at every second and every minute? This is what I said. You have to give yourself to Him completely. You have to accept His devotee as your authority, your guru. And in this way, you can connect it every minute. You mentioned that we have to use everything in the service of Krishna, even... I can't read it. Even anger. Is this you? No, okay. This is Anger Das here. Even anger. Okay, yes, anger can be used. You become angry at the atheists and the impersonalists and all these rascals. I'm actually a very angry person. I cannot tolerate these slaughterhouses. I cannot tolerate this civilization, which is not Krishna conscious. I'm angry at the world leaders right now. I'm angry at Obama. I'm angry at Modi. I'm angry at Putin. I'm angry at all of them right now because they are not putting Krishna as the center principle of their governments. I'm angry at every one of them. Therefore, I'm trying to take over the world with Krishna consciousness. That's my goal. I'm going to bump all these leaders out. I want to put Krishna conscious men in their place. That's my anger. Is it? I really am. I'm really angry about it. I want to get rid of all these rascals and put Krishna conscious men in all the positions of authority in the whole planet. The heads of the universities, the professors. I want to see Krishna conscious men. Every high court judge should have tilak, you see. This is my anger, you see. I'm very angry to see how much the poor people of this city are being abused and cheated by the leaders. It makes me really angry. My blood is curdled, is boiling. My blood is boiling to see this. Therefore, I'm dedicated in the mood of fighting to put an end to this nation. I'm challenging all these world leaders, give up your nonsense. Take Krishna consciousness. Try to understand. I've written one song. I put it on the internet called The Peace Formula. And I'm challenging all the world leaders that you need to understand who is the proprietor, who is the owner, and who is the best friend of all living entities. Who is the supreme enjoyer, supreme proprietor, and supreme friend. I'm challenging the world leaders, you see, because I cannot tolerate this nonsense that they're doing. It makes me really angry. They have to be, we have to wake these rascals up. So use anger for preaching, you see. If you're angry at the world, go out and distribute Prabhupada's books to every person you possibly can. You see? That's the use of anger. Go on book distribution. Go on Harinam. And wake up the people. You see? If you're angry about it, just channel your anger into preaching. And then you can preach with some potency, with some enthusiasm, you see. Preaching, Prabhupada said, preaching means fighting. Fighting is what you do when you're angry. So, you know, we should be angry about how the people are being cheated by these rascal leaders. We should go out and tell them about Prabhupada and Prabhupada's teachings. That's the proper utilization of anger. Prabhupada told us, he said, we should make Digvijay. Digvijay means one who conquers in all directions. He says, go village to village, town to town, and make Digvijaya. There is God. I can prove there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on. Prabhupada said we should preach that way, you see. That's using anger in Krishna's service. Okay. Please differentiate between Krishna and Vishnu. How could I differentiate where they're the same? You're asking me to do something impossible, sir. Krishna is the original Vishnu. That's why we're called Hare Krishnas, they're called Vaishnavas. Because there's no difference between Vishnu and Krishna. Krishna is the original, Vishnu is a category. We are called Jiva Tattvas, and there is Vishnu Tattva. Vishnu Tattva means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has innumerable forms. The original Vishnu is Krishna. You see, and the second Vishnu is Balaram. You see. So in this way, these are all Vishnu. So you can't differentiate. Of course, there's four-armed Vishnu. He's one of the other expansions, you see. So that's the difference, you see. Krishna has two arms, and Lord Narayan, you see, he has four arms. Krishna, Vishnu, and the Vishnu expansion of Krishna, he possesses 96% of the qualities of Krishna. And Krishna presents 100... Krishna possesses 100% of the qualities of Krishna. So that's another way. 100% and 96%. Narayan is 96% Krishna. Yeah. This is my wife, Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi. You can add something. Huh? Yes, she reminded me of a very good point. Thank you, Devi. Krishna at the God at the office is Vishnu. Management, you see, universal man. God at home is Krishna. When God is at home, enjoying with his intimate associates, he is known as Krishna. And when he's out doing some work to maintain the universe, he's called Vishnu. You see? So you can be a devotee of Vishnu, the Lord in his expanded form, engaged in maintaining the universe, and worship the Lord in great awe and reverence. That's all right. Or you can be an intimate associate, and worshiping him in Goloka Vrindavan. That's your choice. There's the Vaikuntha realm, where the Vishnu expansion is predominant. There's the Goloka Vrindavan realm, where Krishna is intimately associating with his topmost devotees, not even presenting himself as God, presenting himself as an ordinary village boy. Prabhupada actually said in a lecture, I heard it yesterday, Prabhupada said, our philosophy is to become the master of God. You can imagine that, you see. In the Vaikuntha realm, everyone says Vishnu is the master and we are the servants. But in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna becomes subordinate to his devotees. The cowherd boys will have a wrestling match, and whoever loses has to carry the winner on the shoulders. So Krishna sometimes has to carry the other cowherd boys on the shoulders. That he loses the rest, he loses the contest, he has to carry a cowherd boy on his own shoulders. You see? So this is a higher understanding of God. You see? And don't become you become the master of God. You know? That's a Goloka Vrindavan. How can we manage if we want to be the part of both life, Krishna consciousness, and material life? How do you balance? You want to answer some of these? How do you balance? They want to have material life and spiritual life both. How do they balance it? I already answered it. Okay. But I can give a further answer. Look in the Sri Upanishad. Vidyam cha vidyam yashtad vedo bhyam saha. There's a nice mantra that one should, in order to achieve the full blessings of immortality, you have to properly balance material and spiritual life. The way to balance it, of course, is by offering your material life in Krishna's service. Okay. We are easily influenced by material substance, but not spiritual substance. That is your contaminated state right now, where you're totally captivated by Maya. But if you will chant the Hare Krishna mantra every day with faith and devotion and intensity, you will gradually come out of the spell of Maya and you'll become enchanted by Krishna. Or just the opposite will happen, where you become easily influenced by Krishna and not very easily influenced by the material energy. This regular chanting, along with following these principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, will flip it over. You see, right now you're inside out. You're in an artificial position. The jiva soul by nature is influenced by spirit and doesn't give a damn about matter, you see. But by bad association, we've been reverse engineered, you see. Now we got to re-engineer. We got to reverse the reverse engineering and go back to our original pure consciousness. You want to add something to them? You know, we need another mic if we're going to do that. Okay. Should we stop ourselves to go to Krishna if our parents stop us? Well, who is your original parent? I mean, who is your real parent? Krishna is your original parent. Pitaham. Krishna is the original father of all living entities. So, which parents are you talking about? From this lifetime, you've had thousands and millions of parents and thousands and millions of lifetimes. And where, by following your parents, where have you gotten? Another material body, isn't it? So you should respect your parents. Krishna says we should honor our mother and father. But that doesn't mean you disobey Krishna and obey your parents. You should obey Krishna and respect your parents, seeing in what ways they have helped you to be Krishna conscious. Just like my parents, they didn't encourage me to join the Hare Krishna movement. But I see how my mother actually was a good influence on me. She encouraged me to be moral. She used to sing Christian hymns. She would sit down after her household chores. She would play the piano and sing the glories of God in the living room in a typical afternoon after doing the household chores. So even though she didn't directly tell me to join the Hare Krishna, she didn't even like it that I joined the Hare Krishna. But I see in some way she actually helped me to be a devotee. So in this way you should appreciate your parents. And they may be against you going to the temple, but you should see in what way they've actually trained you that helps you to become a devotee. They probably taught you to be moral, not to lie, not to get drunk and different things. So you have to appreciate what they did teach you and see how they're actually helped. Their training actually helped you to become a devotee. Even though they may not directly want it, in this way, I know in my wife's case, the family was very much against it in the beginning. But then the whole family, even the brothers were, Jay Krishna, what was he saying? Jay Krishna was really against it, wasn't he? Jay Krishna? Her family was very much opposed, and now they're all devotees. They all became devotees also, you see. They all got initiated. So you may be surprised someday in the future your parents may be more advanced devotees than you. So, you know, just go ahead and follow your duty and be respectful to your parents. You have to love your parents and honor them. You offer your obeisances according to Vedic culture. You bow down to your parents every day and offer obeisances. In the early days of 26 Second Avenue, the first temple, my godbrothers, Brahmananda and Gargamuni, they were brothers, and their mother Mrs. Scharf came to attend, I think it was in some ceremony, maybe the initiation. They only had one chair. Here you have hundreds of chairs. They had one chair in the whole temple room. And the temple only owned one chair. So they gave her the one chair, Mrs. Scharf. And Prabhupada told Brahmananda that you offer your obeisances to your mother, some Jewish woman, you know. So we should offer our obeisances to our parents, even if they don't like us going to the temple. We can say, "Mom and Dad, the temple is making me a better son. You see, now I'm offering. I know to bow down to you and respect you, and be more helpful in the home. You see, this temple is actually good for me. It's helped me to be a better son, to appreciate you more. So you should be in favor of the temple. In this way, you see, you might make them devotees. You never know." Okay. So, something, you are a follower of Krishna, and you are, and did you ever sound of Krishna in your, did you ever see the soul of Krishna in your 40 years of believeness? Did you ever really meet Krishna? They're wanting to know. You've been practicing for 40 years. Did you ever see Krishna? Did you ever directly experience him? That's what they're asking. Well, actually, I'm experiencing Krishna at every minute. Right now, I'm experiencing Krishna. Prabhupada compares it to a car engine. You see? Let's say you have some car trouble, you know, but you're not a mechanic. You get out, there's steam coming out under the hood, you know. You get out, you lift up the hood, you look at it, you don't know what's going on. You call, get on your phone, you know, you call a mechanic. And the mechanic comes out and he looks at, you're looking at, you're seeing the engine, he's seeing the engine, you're scratching your head, and he goes, chip, and fixes it, you see. So actually we're all seeing God at every minute. But those who are realized, they understand better what they're seeing. You understand? We're all seeing God. Right now, everything you're seeing in front of your eyes, it's all God's energy. In fact, Krishna says, Sashi Shuryayo, he says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. And this electrical energy is actually a manifestation of the sun's energy. So this electrical light is actually, you're seeing Krishna's energy. You're seeing Krishna manifest in the form of this energy just by seeing the light in the room. So we're all seeing, experiencing Krishna. But to understand what you're, to actually understand it and what's happening, that the more you become mature, the more you practice Krishna consciousness, the more you'll see how, the more you'll actually understand how you're seeing Krishna. But we're all seeing Krishna at every minute. Anything you want to add, just let me know. How to overcome negative feelings which come in our mind. You just have to bombard them with positivity. Or there are certain negative feelings that are good. I don't like this material world. Hey, that's great. I don't feel at home here. It seems weird to me, you know. That's good. There's certain negative things that are very good. You should be negative about material sense gratification. It's great. So you have to, positive and negative both can be engaged in Krishna service. How can I remove from attraction material world while chanting because my mind diverts too much? Before sunrise. If you get up and chant before the sunrise, you will get a very intense meditational experience beyond Delhi and Noida, you see. You'll actually feel, you can actually feel how Krishna is present in his name. The trick is chant early in the morning. Don't let the sunrise catch you sleeping, okay? Would you like to share any of your realizations? Sure, what do you think I've been doing for the last 45 minutes? This is all my realizations. You think I'm reading this out of a book? This is what I've realized from 44 years of practicing Krishna consciousness. I have an ocean of realizations within my heart. If you want to hear more of them, go to my course. Go to www.joincourse.com and you can get more and more of my realizations. Every day I write something called Thought for the Day. If you enjoy my realizations. Announce. Okay. Gotcha. How can one progress in self-realization? I already said faith, association, initiation, and obedience. What level are you on? You see? Everyone here is on level 2 at least. You see? You have faith, and that's why you're here associating with devotees. Now, if you haven't got initiated yet, that's your next step. Get initiated. Qualify by chanting 16 rounds, following the principles, and become initiated disciples, one of the spiritual masters here of our movement. That's the third step. And the fourth step then is now you'd be totally obedient to your Guru Maharaj. And by doing that, all the ignorance, the passion, all the contamination will be gradually cleansed out of your heart and you'll fully realize Krishna. Like it is said, if we see Krishna as the most supreme personality of Godhead, can any other God for that matter, or a whole concept of God? God will be relative because I believe all gods are one. Aha! I'm ready for that one. Now, how many Supreme Courts you got here in India? Anybody counted lately how many Supreme Courts you got? One? Oh, wait a minute. I thought all the courts were the same. See, there's only one Supreme Court? If all the gods are one, then all the courts are also one, right? Every court is a Supreme Court, right? No. Your legal system means there's one Supreme Court, and that's it. So God means the Supreme Being. Look it up in the dictionary, sir. God is the Supreme Being. So just as there can be only one Supreme Court, there can only be one Supreme Being. If there's two, they're not supreme. Supreme means one without a second. You understand? So this idea of many gods is, you know what it is? I'll tell you the truth. It's covered atheism. Covered atheism. If all the demigods, for example, are all the supreme God, then none of them are the supreme God. You see what I'm saying? This idea of many gods. In the first Indian guru I ever met, he said, "I'm God, you're God, we're all God." You ever heard that one? "I'm God, you're God, and we're all God." One Indian guru, he said, the disciple said, "Oh, our Guru Maharaj is very humble. He never says, 'Aham Brahmasmi, I am God.' He says, 'Tatvasmi, you all are God.'" So if the guru says, "I'm not God, but you are all God," he's in a roundabout way, he's just trying to say that I'm really God, but I'm humble about it, you see. So don't fall for this trap. It's called Mayavadi philosophy. It's actually, let me explain, it's very popular in India. Most of the Indian gurus teach this. And I want to tell you where it came from so you can understand why it existed and what purpose it had in Indian philosophical history. After Lord Krishna left this planet 5,000 years ago, the people became very sinful. In the Treta Yuga, they were doing yajnas or sacrifices in which they would take an old cow, maybe in the Dwarpa Yuga too, I'm not sure, but in the previous yugas, they had the Ashvamedha Yajna and the Gomedha Yajna. They could put an old horse or an old cow into the sacrificial fire while chanting mantras, and to prove the efficiency of their mantras, they could transform that old cow into a young calf or that old horse into a young horse. This proved the efficiency of their mantras. But in this age, no Brahmins are qualified to chant that perfectly, the mantras. So these sacrifices are condemned in this age. But after Krishna left, the people were saying, oh look, the Brahmins were killing cows, so we can kill cows and eat the flesh. Meat eating was going on in the name of Vedas. So Krishna being very kind upon the poor people and the poor cows who were being slaughtered in the name of Vedas, appeared as Lord Buddha. He said, everything is zero voidism. The only truth is void. But if you cause suffering to others, you will suffer in return. That is karma. Therefore, he taught ahimsa and the law of karma and void, his teaching. And he was so successful, all of India became Buddhists. How many Buddhists do we have here today? Practically none. Why? Because then Krishna told Lord Shiva to come as Shankaracharya to reestablish Vedic culture in India. Buddha taught it's all zero. Shankara taught it's all one. Now, why did he do that? You see, he wanted to reestablish Vedic culture. He took the Vedanta Sutra and he explained it in such a way to establish oneness as the highest principle. And in this way, everything is one or everything is zero. There's not much difference. So, because he presented a philosophy which is known as covered Buddhism, he actually was able to reestablish Vedic culture in India in a philosophy which was very similar to Buddhism. But it was actually a trick to get the Buddhists to convert back to Vedic culture. It wasn't the final thing, because then he said at the end of his life, he only lived in his 30s, he didn't live that long. But he said, Bajagovindam, Bajagovindam, Bajavagan, Bajagovindam, Mudhamate. He said, you intellectual fools, your grammatical knowledge and word jugglery will not save you at the time of death. Just worship Govinda, just worship Govinda, just worship Govinda. So he actually taught this principle of oneness is not actually the real thing. But they didn't take it. They kept it. And then later, other great acharyas like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they came and taught the principle that there is oneness and duality simultaneously. This is called Achincha Beda Beda Tattva philosophy. The absolute truth is simultaneously, inconceivably one and different. So we accept that everything is one. But at the same time, there is difference within that oneness. Or everything is different, but there is oneness within that difference. So, how does it work? The living entity is one with God in the same sense that a drop of water is one with the ocean. How is the drop of water one with the ocean? In quality. The chemical composition of a drop of ocean water is the same as the chemical composition as the ocean. But can you float one of these Indian battleships in a drop of water? No. Try to put your Indian Navy on a drop of water. It won't fit. It's too small. But you can put the Indian Navy on the ocean, you see. Although qualitatively, the drop and the ocean are one, quantitatively they are different. So qualitatively, yes, you are God. God is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. You are part of Him. You share the same qualities of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Therefore, in that sense, you are God, qualitatively. But quantitatively, no way. You know the pains and pleasures of your body only, but God knows the pains and pleasures of everyone's body. Your cognizance is only in a little tiny area in your body only, maybe a few feet beyond it, what you can see and hear in the room. But God is sarvagya, He is fully cognizant of everything, you see. One of these Indian gurus back in the 60s, his name was Guru Maharajji, he was very popular with the hippies in America. He said, he got up at the famous stadium called the Astrodome in Houston. He said, he came out with a peacock feather in his hair and a flute. And he said, I'm whatever you want me to be. He said, so they said that he was God. His disciples were called premies because they were supposed to all have prema. premis. That's what he called his followers, the premis. They all had love of God. So let these cheating things go on, you see. And later on, he was arrested for trying to smuggle jewels into India. The Indian government arrested him. So just see, he's claimed to be God, and he couldn't even get past the border in India without being handcuffed and put in jail. What kind of God is this, you see? He says he's God, but when he has to run to the toilet room, he has to run, you see? His bowels are God. Or his bladder is God, you see? The bladder and the bowels are more powerful than God, you see? God has to run to the toilet room. Therefore, actually, his bowels are God. You see what I'm saying? How disgusting this philosophy is. So anyway, there's only one supreme God. And there are subordinate gods. The demigods, there's 33 million of them, like, you know, Indra, Ganesh, Surya, Shiva, on and on, Lakshmiji, on and on. There's 33 million of them. Even the blinking of your eyes is controlled by some demigod. I just saw you blink. A demigod did that. There's a demigod who made you blink. I just blinked too. So, I just saw you blink. So these demigods are acting here. They're making everybody blink in the room, you see. So the demigods are acting in the material world to manage different aspects of the material nature. But they are all subordinate to the supreme God, Krishna. So anyway, God will be relative. God is not relative. God is absolute. All right. I believe all gods are one. These demigods that you think are one, they will die at the time of the universal annihilation. Even Lord Brahma dies, okay? So they're not immortal. They live for the duration of the universe, and then they die when the universe is round up. The universe, after 311 trillion years, the universe is destroyed. So the demigods die at that time. They have powerful position. You were also a demigod in the past. You don't remember, but you were a demigod in one of your previous lifetimes. So you died in that. You died. That demigod body died, and you finally came down here to the earth and become an earth being. So everybody had a chance to be one of those demigods in the heavenly planets controlling the universe. So because they are mortal, actually, there's a nice story in this connection. Hiranyakashipu wanted to achieve immortality. He did great austerities to achieve to get the darshan of Lord Brahma. And when Lord Brahma came, Hiranyakashipu asked him for immortality. He said, "How can I give you more immortality? I myself am immortal. How can I give you immortality? Even Lord Brahma, the chief demigod of the whole universe, is mortal. So what kind of God is that, you see, who has to bow down to death? Krishna is immortal. You have to understand. Krishna states directly in the Gita, Kamaistashta Hrita Jnana. Those who worship the demigods have lost their brains. Hrita Jnana. Hrita means stolen, knowledge means, and Jnana is knowledge. Hrita Jnana, their knowledge is stolen by illusion. So don't, please get out of this mistaken idea that that there are so many different gods. It's absolutely untrue. Lesser God, you can say, but Supreme God of the Supreme Authority, there is only one. Subordinate gods, that is all right. But not that all gods are the same. There is one God who is supreme. He is, Deva means the gods, okay? But then there's Deva, the God of the gods, that is Krishna. Try to understand this difference. This is a big problem in India, you see. This idea of many gods, which is nothing but covert atheism, is very popular in India. In America, we're fortunate we don't have that philosophy. America is monotheistic. Jews and Christians are monotheistic. I have an advantage. I'm not coming from a polytheistic philosophical background. So I have to really hammer on you guys. Those of you who are polytheistic, I got to hammer on you and get that polytheistic crud out of your head. It's nothing but covered atheism. There can only be one supreme. Please kick out these polytheistic conceptions. There's only one supreme. That's it. And it's scientific, it's logical, and it's shastric. All three things. And you can experience it yourself. You have experienced it. You were one of those demigods in a previous... You were Lord Brahma in a previous lifetime also. And you died and you came down to the earth planet because you weren't qualified to go back to Godhead. You were Lord Brahma also, the chief demigod of the whole material universe. So you have to understand these things. Why is it called science of self-realization? Because it is scientific. It's not blind faith. It's not dogma. Just like when I studied chemistry in high school, the teacher told us, students, H2O equals water. And then she took us down to the lab and we did it in the laboratory. I did it in a little test tube. Maybe you did it too. It was fun. It was cool. I combined two parts hydrogen with one part oxygen. And lo and behold, what did I have in my test tube? Water. So that's scientific. So the science of self-realization is also scientific. There is Krishna, the Supreme Self. There is you, the individual self. Just like there's hydrogen and oxygen. You bring them together properly, you get water. If you combine, you make a proper combination of Krishna and the living entity, then you get what is called pure bhakti in the test tube of your heart. So we will teach you, just as you got water in your test tube in your high school lab, we will teach you how to get bhakti in your heart by dovetailing the individual self with the Supreme Self through a scientific technique called bhakti yoga. Okay? So it is science. And what they call science out there in the material world is nothing but rubbish. Dr. Stephen Hawking, you know how an ass goes, hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. So there is Dr. Hawkings, Hawkings, Hawkings. He's braying with his computer-generated voice that everything comes out of nothing. That's what he teaches. Everything comes out of nothing. But it's never been shown in any laboratory. Show me any laboratory wherever they've taken nothing and gotten something out of it. It is pure rubbish. It's nothing but dogma, and people applaud it as science. This is nothing but rubbish. This is real science here. That is nothing but rubbish, what they call science. There's even one scientist who's a qualified PhD. His name is Rupert Sheldrake. He's a Christian, actually, in the UK. And he's also agreeing with what we say in this movement. He's saying what they call science is actually dogma. He agrees with Prabhupada on many points. Dr. Rupert Sheldrake. He's considered a heretic by mainstream science, by the way. But he's a very qualified scientist. He's discovered many things. He's a very qualified scientist. And he has a book called The Science Delusion. Check it out on Amazon. He says a lot of the things that Prabhupada said. Okay. What or who is God? Is it Krishna including other gods? Okay. God means the Supreme. So, that God means also the source of everything, Adi, the origin of everything. So Lord Brahma, who is the chief engineer of this universe, he's the one who engineered the whole universe. He, with his own purified vision, his own experience of self-realization, he personally met Krishna. And he wrote beautiful prayers in the fifth chapter of his book, the Brahma Samhita, which we still have. It was discovered by Lord Chaitanya in his tour of South India in the temple of Adi Keshava. In this wonderful book, Krishna, Lord Brahma says, Ishvaraha Padamaha Krishnaha Satchirananda Vigraha Anandir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna is the Supreme Controller, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. He has an eternal form full of bliss and knowledge. Anadir, he has no origin. Adir, he is the origin of everything. Govinda, he is also known as Govinda. Sarva Karana Karanam, and he is the original cause of all causes. So this is God, you see. The one who is the original cause of all causes, who is the origin of everything, who has no other origin other than himself. You may say, well, where did Krishna come from? Well, that's also described in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Brahma Samhita. What is that verse? Yad bhava bhava. Yes, Raman Nimurti Shakalani Amena Chishtana Navatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Svayam Samabhavat Paramapumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna. So if you want to know where Krishna came from, he came from Govinda. And who is Govinda? He's Krishna. So Krishna is self-manifested. That is God. These other gods, they come from Krishna. They're emanations of his energy. They are not the energetic source of everything. The Supreme Godhead is the source of everything, including himself. So this is our last question here. How can we stop violating the four regulative principles in our mind? Well, just stop doing it with your body. That's the first step, you see. No illicit sex, you see. Now in your mind, you still might be lusting. Well, that girl looks pretty good over there. You see. You might be lusting in your mind. Well, as long as you don't act on it, you're protected, you see. And then, and you keep chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then you realize, well, what is this sex pleasure anyway? It's, you know, it's a temporary titillation of the senses. It's not really me. It's just a covering of the body. It's not really me at all. So this Hare Krishna, though, is actually titillating the soul. It's awakening the soul. It's arousing the soul to its original, pure, ecstatic, loving relationship with the Supreme Soul of all souls. So what happens is you by chanting, you realize that Hare Krishna is better than sex. You see? So you stop, after a while, you stop contemplating sex at all. Who cares about sex, you know? It's like blowing your nose or something like that, you know? You get all excited about blowing your nose or passing stool, you know. It's just some bodily function, isn't it? Like blowing your nose or coughing up some mucus, you know. You know what I mean? Whether you cough up some semen or you cough up some mucus, it's just a bodily function. You know what I mean? So why get so excited about it? It's kind of stupid, really. You know? According to Vedic conception, semina is called reta in Sanskrit. And the urdhva means rising. So if you hold your semen in, you practice brahmachari life, then that semen will rise to your brain. It will nourish your brain for deep philosophical realizations of the absolute truth. And it will strengthen your body against disease. And it will give you longevity. You'll live longer. Every time you pass semen, you're shortening your lifespan. You're weakening your brain and making your body more susceptible to disease. So why pass semen unnecessarily? Even in household life, a devotee will only have sex for procreation. Otherwise, he's strict brahmachari. He doesn't want to waste his semen. It's a very valuable thing. It takes 40 drops of blood to make one drop of semen. Some people think it feels so good to pass seminar. Well, why don't you slash your wrist and see how good it feels to bleed? Ah, it feels so good. The blood coming out. Ah, you see? So sex life is just like, you know, passing out a lot of blood out of your body. It really is all you're doing. So it's necessary if you want to have kids. It's okay. Then it's spiritual. It's Krishna himself. Krishna says, I am that sex life which is for procreation. So that's beautiful. You have sex for producing Krishna conscious children. That you can do. And Krishna will bless you if you do that. But if you have it for some recreational Saturday night, you know, instead of going to the movies, you have sex. It's the most disgusting, animalistic thing. A human being should never do such thing. You see, it's not human life to have sex like that. Sex is only meant for procreation. So in this way, if you make your mind chaste and pure, you just lose interest in these things. You realize it's inferior. Why should I be lusting over girls when I can be developing pure love of God within my heart at every minute? You see? Okay, well, we've run out of questions. You have something more for me then? Yeah, okay. Okay, now here's no more questions coming in. Some of the questions were not answered, and I do apologize for them. Many times people get so inspired by these talks that I give that the questions just come flooding in. They want answers, and I just don't have time to answer all of them. However, the good news is I have an e-course, and you can get your questions answered by email if you're one of my students on the e-course. All you have to do to join is very simple. You go to www.joincourse.com. You can join the course by going to join course. J, if you can't spell, write it down in your notebook. J, or send you, look at, you can do it on your smartphone right now. I even have an app. Now, anybody who wants to sign up can sign up on my, if I have a good enough Wi-Fi connection. You can sign up on my, iPhone 6 tonight. I have an app. You can sign up here on my iPhone. Come up and sign up before you leave the room tonight. And then you can reconfirm in your own email. And I have a few cards also. But it'd be not enough for everybody if we have a flood. if everybody wants it, I only have 10 of them maybe. So I do have my cards also. I have another option. You have my card with the sign up information. I have my smartphone where you can sign up as an app. You can put your name and email address and a little keyboard in the iPhone and be signed up right here on the spot. So you can sign up for my e-course, and that way you can get plugged in to the science of self-realization under the guidance of a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who will guide you every day on how to awaken your Krishna consciousness. You can get initiated wherever you want. I have students who get initiated from me, students who get initiated by other gurus. It's not that you have to be my disciple to sign up. Everybody's welcome to join. You can go whichever guru you like to go with, but I'll train you how to become qualified, a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master, and how to qualify yourself to go back to home, back to Godhead. So we'll stop here. Anybody who wants a card can come up. Oh, you have cards here. Oh, my disciples in India printed my card too. And there's only three. Okay. Anybody who wants a card to get on the course, come on up. Thank you, Hare Krishna.